Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Malik Yawm al-Din. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
الحمد لله على كل حال.
American Muslim 360 would like to invite you to the first Shura Beta Hum Conference taking place in Fayetteville, North Carolina, August 16th through the 18th. The process will be guided by 9 questions. What do we really, really want as a community? How do we define and view our present-day community situation? We will avoid negative comments and questions. What are our goals, objectives, and tasks 5 years into the future? How many ways or strategies can we use to achieve success? What are some realistic time frames? What should we look like 5 years from now? How committed are we? And then take it slow. Remember, Community Shura Beta Hum, August 16th to the 18th, Fayetteville, North Carolina. Visit AmericanMuslim360.com to register for this event. You will find hotel arrangements there. I want to thank you, and we definitely look forward to see your face in the place.
You can't touch this. This.
American Muslim 360 is we will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
We can't hear you. Are you there, Brother Thomas? Because we can't hear you at all.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, 24/7, Muslim hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join Famico Publishers in supporting AM 360. Where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Brother Thomas, we still can't hear you. I don't know. I hope you can hear me because it says muted, but we can't hear you at all. I can't even hear if you're talking to me right now.
Can you hear me now? I think you can hear me now. So, inshallah. Erico 210, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Okay. Inshallah. Apologize for that. But again, welcome to American Muslim 360. And inshallah, this is Jumu'ah Mubarak. And today Jumu'ah will be coming out of Corona, New York. Imam Yusuf Ramadan will be delivering the khutbah today. And it will be at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, inshallah, here on American Muslim 360. So please do come back for the Jumu'ah today. And today, again, Bilal Strout is no longer on American Muslim 360. So I'm here for the full 3 hours today. And inshallah, we're going to talk about the upcoming Shura conference in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I want to spend a little bit of day today talking about the process. What are we going to be doing on the ground and how we're going to, and I guess maybe more the structure of that, so that you will understand that this is not a just a verbal fest where people will be just talking, and let alone talking out of turn, or anybody being disrespected, that anybody will grandstand, any of those kinds of things. We are really here to make progress. We want to make sure that we're hearing from individuals, inshallah, those who attend, and everybody will do it in a respectful manner. There will be no grandstanding. There's no panels. There's no one person. There's no one person focus at the event. This is community. This is about us as a people. And us, let's say, as an association of Waterthuddin Muhammad, we're going to have to trust one another. And a lot of times I realize that our greater challenge may not even be the work ahead. It may be just us trusting each other, respecting each other, learning how to trust the voice of the people, and not always saying, well, let's see what Brother Imam thinks about this, or let's ask him sort of for permission. The people are going to have to, let's say, wake up. They're going to have to figure out that they have power. They have influence. They have ability. And if we use that power collectively, we can begin to make some real things happen. This is not about one person. This isn't even about so much a small group of people. This is about what Allah has already given and said to us, that our future is in our hands. But we have to decide that we're going to do something different, and maybe even radically different, from what we've been doing in the past. There have been attempts in the community before, and particularly even with under Waterthuddin Muhammad. We've seen a lot of failure in the community. We've seen efforts start and fizzle out. So our belief in ourselves is not that high. We don't trust ourselves. So that we think we've been there, done that. So why don't we just sort of sit here in the corner and sort of do nothing, that some Allah will save us. Well, this may be Allah trying to save you, community, shorter. Like the man that said, he fell overboard and he said, God is going to save me. various different opportunities came to him. And he said, well, God's going to save me. He drowned. When he so-called went to heaven and he saw God, he said, God, I thought you would save me. He said, well, didn't I not send you the boat, the fisherman? Did I not send you this and that? And you didn't take advantage of any of those. So I didn't sort of bring you to your demise. You brought your own self to your demise. And we could be the same way, waiting and praying for Allah to help us. But Allah has already sent help. But as one gentleman, I think it's Kaiser, at least the one I read it with, says work or opportunity comes dressed in work clothes. Opportunity comes dressed in work clothes. And if we don't recognize opportunity has more to do with work than it does with, let's say, just quote saying, I've been blessed with something, then we're going to always be missing the boat. So I want us to really think and, inshallah, use this opportunity of community shura. It's a process that Allah has, let's say, revealed to us, encouraged us to use, and that we are people who are in consultation with each other, that we seek advice, we give advice, but that there is a collective effort made. And it is how we can say again, progress. If we're really going to make something happen, it's not going to be an individual, it's not going to be just a small group, but it's going to be many, many, many efforts, many groups, not only collectively working, but collaborating to work together. And so, inshallah, community shura is an opportunity, first of all, to collectively speak and see what is on our minds. What do we want? We may say, well, I'm satisfied with the way the things are. Then, alhamdulillah. If that's our collective decision, then alhamdulillah. But at some point in time, we're going to have to stop complaining about the lack of progress or this or that. If where you are is where you want to be, then no more complaints. But if where we are is not where we really want to be, or we see this as the height of our potential, our ability, this is the best we can do. We've done everything we can do, and there's nothing else for us to do. We cannot think any higher than what we've already been thinking. This is the highest, the height of our intelligence. If this is the height of our intelligence, then, alhamdulillah, we've done our best. But I believe that it is not the height of our intelligence, nor is it the best that we can do, that there are many, many other things, many, many other accomplishments that we can do. And if we want community life, real community life, then there's going to have to be some organizing, some team building, some systems, some way for us to grow and change. Let's maybe even say the direction, or at least improve the direction in which we are presently traveling. Speed it up. Make some things happen. Build some institutions, lasting institutions, So we want to have a talk with you, and again, inshallah, know that you can press 1 on your phone and have an opportunity to join the conversation, ask the questions that you see. But we want to constantly encourage you, if you haven't already, to register for the event. We pray that this is only the first of many, many, many events that will take place. This is not a one-time conversation. We will do this one, and we will immediately begin to plan the next one, and the next one after that, and the following one after that. I personally, inshallah, will not give up. I will work it until I can't work it anymore. And then at least I can say to Allah, I've done the best that I can do. Inshallah. So what I want to, first of all, we shared with you last week the acronym of I Can Do It. This is the process, the structure of the event. I've already somewhat also shared with you that this is my, let's say, intellectual property. Just because I'm sharing it does not mean that you have carte blanche to copy it and use it as you choose. This material belongs to me. But I want to share it with you because it is, one, what I do, but it is a process for moving people and organizations, businesses forward. We've done it on many, many, many occasions. We've gotten great, great results individually and collectively. There's, well, let me go back over it so that you can capture it again. The I stands for investigate. The C is current situation. The first A is ask positive questions. The next A is aim, which translates into goals and objectives. The N is for number of options. D is the date of achievement. O is outcome. I is interest testing. And then the last, the T is take it slow. So what you notice is that the word can has two A's in it. It's I-C-A-A-N-D-O-I-T. I can do it. Erica 210, press 1 on your phone to go out. And then if you have a question, please press it to come back in. And inshallah, we'd be more happy to respond to your question and or comment. Okay? Now, I want to go over the I can do it process and a couple of other things along with it. Now, I'm really giving you sort of the Reader Digest version. Because when we're working with organizations, and if the more we work, the more I will share with you so that we can make progress. But at the present moment, we're going to try to keep it simple and make it understandable. So you can see that when you arrive in Fayetteville, the process will save the day. The process will save the day. It will minimize negativity. It will heighten positivity. Even the concept, I can do it, is positive. I can do it. And I need you to believe that you can do it. This is not impossible. So inshallah, please register for the event. You will be amazed, and I think you will also be impressed with yourself, inshallah. All right, on the information, and I'm just going to go over the one question or concept in each area, which we shared in the initial flyer document that we sent out, and inshallah, this will help you begin to see, and you should begin to ponder these particular questions in each area. Again, depending on the in-depthness in which we're going to go, there are hundreds of questions that will help lead us someplace. We're only sharing one question with you at the present moment. And for the time frame in which we have, this should keep us quite busy, inshallah, but also allow the process to move quite rapidly. And at the end of the day, we will have something worthwhile to produce that we would have produced, inshallah. All right. Now I'm going to, we're going to take a break for Salat in just a moment. And I'm going to go ahead and start this, and then inshallah we'll take a Salat break here in a minute. Investigate. What are we here to investigate or research to better understand? The question is, what do we really, really want as a community? It is difficult, inshallah, for us to go or do anything until we can truly answer the question, what do you really, really want? Not just you want a school or you want more businesses. What is it about that really makes that something that is desirable to you? What do you really, really want? Not just your, you know, a lot of times we can, people say, oh, you know, give me your wish list. We can give a wish list. But we're not that connected or interested in those things, nor are we going to work for them. The question goes to the heart of what are we willing to put our sweat and blood for, our sweat and tears? What do you really, really want? We have to spend time as a body of people answering the question. There are going to be many answers to the question, and then we'll figure out how to synthesize that. Current situation. What is our current situation? We have a lot of talk that we're doing great, we're okay, we don't need to change anything. Don't worry about it. You can see Philadelphia just bought a $1 million masjid building to turn into a masjid and youth center. We are doing great. But is it that Philadelphia is doing great or we are doing great? What is our present day situation? How do we define our status quo? Now, again, we like to always paint the best picture, but the truth, we are a people of truth. And then we have to sit down and honestly say, you know what? We do have some problems. We have some issues. So let's really figure out what is our present day situation. Where we sit today, a snapshot of today's situation or status. How would we describe that? How would we define this present day situation? Some paint a very rosy picture. Others are sitting around frustrated. Some may have checked out, say, well, you know what, I really don't care anymore. I just read my Quran. I just do what I do. And, you know, I really don't care about all of that. These are signs of our present day situation. Can we even work collective? Is there a collective effort? Do we have a desire for a collective effort? What is the, you know, the get what they call the State of the Union address or State of Cities address? People try to say, this is where we are and this is where we want to go. These are some of the problems we need to solve. We need more jobs. We need the infrastructure to be invested in. They're kind of describing the present day circumstances or situation. We have to do the same. We have to be able to see what is our situation. And from a point of view of many of you, you may say, well, you know, this seems pretty elementary. Well, it is elementary, but the importance, the value of it is not elementary. Many people, as they say, three blind men filling on an elephant, they all come up with three different definitions or descriptions of the elephant. We are no different. We are just like the blind man. Depending on who you ask, you're going to get a different definition or circumstances or situation of the community. Well, it's time to begin to get a collective understanding of the community. Where do we want to go? Where are we going to end up? In other words, where we are right now, you know, there were days when we owned many businesses and farmland and all of that. We call that the days of the Nation of Islam. In the time of Walid bin Muhammad, our community work as a community has shifted. And it has shifted more than once. We're going to have to assess that. And believe me, we can do these things in short order with enough voices. Again, it may not be every voice, but out of that, we'll begin to get some idea. And then as you see the question, inshallah, we're going to keep the process moving so there's only a time frame that you can spend in each area. You can't stay in one area all day, so that you can keep the process moving. Ask positive questions. Now, this is very key, that we come with positive attitudes. And we want to really not just be problem discussers. We don't want to sit around and just talk about problem. We want to say, so how do we frame that problem in a forward-leaning direction? What do you want to do about that problem? How are you going to take that problem and make it an asset for yourself, or at least make it a project or a program? What are you planning on doing about the problem? So we're going to ask positive questions about our situation. And what do we want? When you ask the positive question, it creates positive energy in the room, and other people begin to think forward. Solutions begin to arise. Because when it's not bogged down in negativity, nor are we going to be negative with each other, talk to each other negatively, bring up people's past, their circumstances, their situation, the atmosphere will stay and remain positive. And inshallah, the facilitators will help in making it so. Or I will be the, I guess you can say, police, I guess. If I have policed the situation, I will keep it moving in the positive direction. And the person who wishes to constantly be negative, then we're going to have to find another way to engage that person. So no one is going to be hurt, inshallah. No one's going to be attacked. Nor are we going to be focused in on any particular place, person, or thing in the community. You know, someone wanted to ask, someone asked me, so are you going to be discussing our organization? No, I'm not going to be discussing your organization. I may be, discussions may come up around what your organization's mission is, but we're not going to be discussing your organization. Okay? The level of sensitivity in this community is very high. It's a very tender. You know, it's like we have a sore, and the touching of the sore or just referring to anything causes pain. And you get that. I get it. Because I guess I'm sitting at the crossroads. So people call me, they email me, they text me. And the level of sensitivity in the community is very, very high. Very high. And that's part of our current situation. Very cool. 727, Sister Martha. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. You know, as you were talking, what came to my mind was the Imam Morsi Muhammad Rahimullahi Alayhi spoke one time about a family and about his mother, I believe. Anyway, he was speaking about the feeling the value, feeling the importance of being part of a unit, and indicating, he said, when she, you know, get off of my couch, then you don't feel like you have a place in the part, in the whole situation. And I attribute that to what we're talking about now. You know, everyone feeling that they are a valuable asset. They're coming, but they're coming as a valuable asset. And, sure. And if that rings heavily on their mind, on our mind, I put it like that inclusively, on our mind, then we will realize that any energy that is deadened or spirit that is taken down will come. If it comes from me, then I'm really taking away from the whole situation. So I mm-hmm. want to come give. I want to be that positive. I want to be that power. But I have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, that I come with the positive energy. So alhamdulillah, feeling this as a valuable asset, number one.
True, very much so. And that's why we want you to trust yourself. Thank you. You have value. And again, we use the example from the brother, the audio that we played on Wednesday evening. The brother said, you know, we all each have a brick. And that's your value. You have something. You've been in the community. You're a thinking person. You have something to bring to this discussion. And don't deny the discussion your value, your brick. Make yourself believe. Don't talk yourself out of, well, you know, they somebody knows more than me or that person. Well, no, don't talk yourself out of this. Talk yourself into being in Fayetteville on the 16th of August. Talk yourself into it. Tell yourself, I have to be there. I have to be in that room. because I have something to say, and inshallah, I want to hear for my own self. I don't want to hear secondhand what went on. I want to have a personal report that I was in the room, and this is what I heard. This is what I saw. These are the results that came out of it. This is the direction. We listen to words of Deen Muhammad. We may listen to other, what I'm going to call right now, motivational speakers, or we read the Quran for inspiration and all of these things. But yet, to be honest with you, we are not motivated. We have yet to really find real motivation, real purpose, real direction. So we're struggling day to day, trying to maintain our sort of sanity, trying to be positive, but yet inside you're struggling. The way we begin to increase the positive energy in this community is we begin to work in a positive way and create results. And when we look up, we say, look what we did. Alhamdulillah. It also increases for our youth their belief in this community. They begin to say to themselves, I want to be a part of this. I don't want to be separated from this. I want to be a part of this. I want to come. I want to write my name on something. I want to be the problem solver. I don't want to be the problem anymore. I don't want to be the finger pointer anymore. What we're working on right now is huge. Most people would not even attempt, and most people haven't attempted this, because the probability of bringing these many voices together is frightening to most people. They always want to keep it small, and they only want to keep it very selective group of people. I'm here to tell you, by the will of Allah, I can handle many voices in the room, diverse voices. We can do this. I'm not afraid of what you have to say. I'm not afraid of your anger, your hurtness, you being hurt, you being upset. You need to vent. I'm not afraid. Come on down. Come on down. We're going to work with you. We want people, the educators and the educated. You come, be in the room. Doesn't matter where you are and how long you've been in this community, you are invited. As I say, none is uninvited. People are going to be slow to sign on because of historical issues. Many people have already compared this, well, brother, this is like the monitoring team, and you know what went wrong in the monitoring team, and this and that. No, this is not the monitoring team. This is like no other effort you have ever been involved in your entire life, not just in this community, in your entire life. You have never been involved in an effort that is being planned and put together right now. Never. I don't know you, and I'm going to say never. Because I know what we are embarking upon. I know this process. I've seen it in action. I've initiated it. I've guided it. And you have never, ever had an experience like the one you're going to have in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Like I say, it sounds simple on the surface. These questions sound simple. But they're going to be powerful. And we all sit down together. Because the real I'm trying to figure out how to say it. But you have to be there to experience it. That's about the best you can say. If you miss it, you just missed it. It doesn't matter how you read the report afterwards. You're going to have missed the experience of your life. But that's the best I can say. I don't know how else to say. And I'm not bragging. I'm not trying to pump it up. I'm giving it to you straight. As straight as I can give it to you, I'm giving it to you straight. I don't need to pump it up. I don't need to give you a bunch of hype and all of that. I do what I do, and I'm good at what I do. That's just the truth. I wouldn't put you in harm's way. I wouldn't put myself in harm's way. I'm going to invite a bunch of strangers to a place, and I don't think I can manage that situation, I would be a fool. And I'm no fool. I'm no fool. Well, some people have acted like I must be a fool. But, you know, anyway, mashallah. Well, positive question. It is very, very key that you learn how to ask positive questions. We're going to go over some of these things here in a bit, but I'm going back over this. I can do it. And I want you to believe me. I want you to keep saying to yourself, I can do it. You need this energy. You need this convincing. You know, I've been in organizations, large organizations. And they didn't have confidence, even though they're maybe even multi-million-dollar agency or organization, business. Many people did not have the confidence. You would think, man, you look at all what you done built already. Look what you're doing here. See, individuals have individual problems and issues. How many titles you got, or all the alphabet behind your name, you run into places where you say, can I do this? I'm in doubt. I'm concerned. I'm afraid. I don't know what the decision to be, because these people are making million, multi-million dollar decisions. This is frightening sometimes. This is difficult. And we're not even making multi-million dollar decisions. You know? They may lead to multi-million dollars, but my point is to introduce this to a group of executives, just that word, just that concept, I can do it. I've seen it light up the room. I've seen people say, you know what? I never thought about it like that. I never thought about the process like that. Because, see, people come, this is what I'm not bringing to you. Let me tell you what I'm not bringing to you. People say, well, strategic planning. Well, strategic planning can be a complicated issue all by itself, a process all by itself. And that within itself, I'm already nervous, and you're going to bring me something that makes me even more nervous. strategic planning. I'm not even going to get into all of the things and all of the complicated concepts in strategic planning. But I can do it via strategic planning, simplified. Again, I own this process. No one teaches this process except for myself, because I own it, okay? My product. The only place you can get this is from myself. I'm not going to go to any school, to any boardroom or somewhere. They're going to be saying, well, you know what? Let me teach you strategic planning through I Can Do It process. They can't do it without my permission. I own it. That's, again, not bragging or anything else. The only point about that is that I have simplified and made it friendly, user-friendly. Even people who are, say, used to complicated planning decisions have said, this is the best I've ever seen. And it's all it says is, I can do it. Never seen anything better than this. I'm trying to give you my best. So inshallah, what I'm going to need to do, I probably need to go ahead and break for Salat. I would normally break for Salat when Bilal comes on. Let me break for Salat, and inshallah, we'll be back, and then we will continue this and a lot more. There's a lot more to come.
An open invitation to all community members. American Muslim 360 presents Finding Our Way, our role, and our intelligentsia. Community-wide Shura, August 16th through the 18th, 2013. This will be held in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Registration, www.AmericanMuslim360.com. This will include registration, lunch, and dinner on Saturday. For adults, $75. For couples, $100. And for our students, $40. Your hotel arrangement can be made through the Holiday Inn, 877-834-3613. For more information, please visit www.AmericanMuslim36.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
Like a Bedouin, trek the sands. Traded in my Vans for some sandals and a camel. A tent and a canteen, whatever it can handle, huh? Allah is indeed gracious. Made the earth spacious so we can see different places. A different vibe, trying to see Muslims unified. Hit China, makes a lot with the bigger tribes. Or catch me sipping tea up in Philistine. A poster with my ox in the Philippines. Read Quran during Ramadan in Taiwan. Or celebrating Eid on an island. Then Ghana with my son and his mama. Or in a cave chilling, playing chess with Osama. I'm just kidding, but this is our vision. Straightway fam on the worldwide mission.
Straightway entertainment. Give you the land.
Flashing my visa, making Salat paying Zakat in Indonesia. Copy to the comma, blending in with the common. Like the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him in the morning. We off to Malaysia, then Saudi Arabia, rocking packed stadiums. Dream over, now it's back to the streets.
Where is clapped or get clapped with the heat? Watch from a different breed, roll around a real killer seed. Banging they streets, using weapons as a guillotine. You wanna hear the streets? Kama gon' bring it. All this word of mouth got your hock name ringing. Sticking in moving so police don't see him. Straight up felon, no misdemeanor thinking.
That's why
I changed my local perception to having the worldwide reception. Yeah, man, we gotta spread this dean all over the world, man. You know, a lot of cats gotta hear what we talking about. Shed new light, you know. Real talk. You know, I'm tired of staying in Sac, man. You know what I'm saying? Take my mental somewhere else. Put me on a vacation.
Straight
you know?
Wing, do it moving, keep it popping, and it don't stop. Bust for cops at the mosque up in Bangkok. Yeah, y'all, straight weight in your area. Get some lambs on the French Riviera. We trying to get those shows in Morocco. You thinking coast to coast, we thinking Kosovo. And though we know Allah's the best of planners, we want them in Japan, waving their hands up. Or maybe Switzerland, holding the Korans up. Go around the world telling Muslims to stand up.
And let's get together like the prophet said. The best deem to spread peace and break bread.
Embrace this brotherhood Allah created. Islam is the reason most of us related. And if we get the chance, you know we're taking it. Lord willing, we're making it. Straight way, no mistake.
excuse me, assalamu alaikum, inshallah, we're back here on American Muslim 360 again. Remember, the Jummah is today at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, coming out of Corona, New York. Imam Yusuf Ramadan will be delivering the khutbah today, so inshallah, please join us again at that time. Okay, inshallah, back to the process. The next A is aims. This is where you do goals, objectives, tasks. What do we want to reach for in the future? What do we want to reach for? And also begins to shape the identity of the community or business. Goals and objectives and tasks begins to give you identity. Now we can begin to say this is who we are by the priorities that we choose. What are the priorities that define us? What is the work that gives us meaning and purpose? What direction? Now, when people look at you, they say, I know where you're headed. I can see what you're about. So aims begins to, kind of the baby in the womb, I guess. It begins to sort of identify, is this male or female? What, it's a baby, but now what is this, what's the identity? And goals and objectives, they begin to give identity, mission, and vision. They identify you to the world. People figure out who you are, whether they want to be associated with you or not. by your mission, your vision, your goals, your objectives, your tasks? What is your chosen purpose and direction in life? We right now don't have a direction or goals or objectives, definitely not collective. And the world don't understand us. They don't know how to classify us. They don't even know how to work with us or who to work with. Okay? Because we have no identity other than we say, well, we're in the association of Water Through Dean Muhammad. But what does that mean to be in association with Water Through Dean Muhammad? What kind of definition, what kind of purpose, a mission, a vision, what does it mean to be in association with Water Through Dean Muhammad? Now, people can give what I may call them very simplistic answers, but they're not good enough. If you're, inshallah, I guess you can say, want to operate on the world scene, on the neighborhood, even the, even just in your city. You know, who are you? Most of us, maybe locally, were mostly known by maybe the email. But nobody knows the community, because it doesn't have much definition outside of the email. The email is the definition. It's the, what you may call the face of the community. Brother Bilal, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. You know, when you say association and companion is basically the same thing. So with that kind of insight and who Imam Water Through Dean Muhammad was and what he left us, I can go ahead on maybe connect that with the companions of the Rasulullah. And in the companion, they was, you know, they'll take care of business. So alhamdulillah, we'll take care of business ourselves too, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. You know, but see, even that's a good, let's just take that. We're going to take care of business. Okay, so what does that mean? What does business mean? Does that mean we're going to establish some business? See what I'm saying? We have yet to define our own language. We speak, but we don't know what we mean. We still need to be able to bring definition to our language. We say things. But what does it mean? I don't know what that means. Okay? Not trying to be rude to Bilal. I'm using it as an example to say, okay, and maybe let's go back to Bilal. Okay, Brother Bilal. So what does it mean that we're going to take care of business? What does that mean? Brother Bilal? You there? Okay, we don't have him right there. Anyway, okay, area code 973. State your name, where you're talking from.
Today's Friday. My end of the year celebration is on Tuesday at 10 o'clock, and they're coming on Thursday.
Okay, 973, area code 973. I think you may have another conversation going in, out in the background. Again, I wasn't trying to be rude to Brother Bilal. This is an example, because we're going to come, well, we don't have to come together, but we make a lot of these kinds of statements every day, and not just in the context of the community. We may tell ourselves, I'm going to take care of business. Well, but what did you just say to yourself? How did self understand that statement? What does business mean to self? And is there any priorities in it? Are there deadlines in that? Or, you know, is it, I hope you understand what I'm saying. I hope I'm not being confusing, and let alone being rude to anyone. You know, let's try it again. 973, did you have a question or comment? No, they've got something going on there. Well, Sister Martha. Air code 727.
Yes, sir. Yes, assalamu alaikum again. We think that I can't help but think. Now, I'm going to make a cake, right?
You said I'm going to make a cake?
I'm going to make a cake.
Yes, okay.
I'm not telling you what kind of cake. I'm not telling you how I'm going to make it.
Right.
Right?
You're not even telling me when you're going to make it.
Exactly. So I'm going to make a chocolate cake tomorrow at 7 p.m., and I'm going to put these things in it, eggs and milk and so forth. So the breakdown, the identification of the particulars is what is needed in order to say, I'm Muslim, but what does that mean to someone else? You're assuming a whole lot in just saying I'm Muslim.
Correct.
Human. You know, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. So you're being understood.
Okay. And that's what I mean is, you know, when we talk, I mean, just in everyday conversation, we say a lot of things. And we think people understand us, and we may even think we understand ourselves. But we really left a lot of room for interpretation or definition or misunderstanding. And it may mean, like using now Sister Martha's example, I'm going to bake a cake. Well, my mind immediately might have said, oh, I want an angel white cake, I guess, whatever. Okay? But now, she, when I get to her house, it's a chocolate cake. Oh, I didn't understand it was going to be chocolate. Well, I'm sorry, I told you I was going to bake a cake. You know chocolate's my favorite, right? See, there's a lot of assumptions being made in our conversations. But when we are in this conversation, we're going to drill down into our conversation. Statements, you should anticipate that they are going to be examined. There's going to be a follow-up question to that statement, not out of meanness, but for clarity. I mean, when you talk about Shorter Betahum, Betahum is referring to, and I say clarity. You know, is this my advice, my consultation, my information, my collaboration? It has to be valuable. It has to be worthy. So we want to make sure that we're having a conversation with clarity. This rises us, pushes us to the top. So when we're talking about goals, objectives, and so forth, this is about bringing some clarity. When we talk about what do we really, really, really want, it's about clarity. Not a statement. It's not just, I want a school. Well, what kind of school do you want? Where do you want the school at? What's the capacity of your school? What is going to be the focus of your school? This is us bringing Shorter Betahum. This is not a conversation. This is honest engagement. And again, I say at an adult level, okay? At an adult level. What is our current situation? What is it? Where is the clarity? Do we just accept that everything is good, everything is fine? You know? Someone said to me the other day, I'm trying to make sure I got it right in my mind. Oh, no, that's exactly what they said. They said, well, what do we need this for? Meaning the shorter. Everything's fine in the community. We're fine. So, what does fine mean to you? Now, the next person may not agree with fine, your definition of fine. But they said to me, so again, we don't, let me not, I'm not, And I'm really paraphrasing. I'm telling you exactly what they said. We don't need this. We're fine. Okay. Now, again, I wasn't trying to argue with the person. I wasn't trying to get in a long, drawn-out conversation. But that's the kind of question. That's what people want to tell you. We're fine. I don't know what that means. I'm not even sure you know what that means. Bring some clarity to that. What does it mean to be fine? And let alone as a community of people. You're fine with the level of youth in the community or the lack thereof? That's okay for you? Are you telling me it's fine that we only have 10 to maybe 15 schools in the entire nation? You're fine with that? You're okay with that? Okay. Are you telling me that the level of business activity in this community is the best we can do? You're fine with that? I mean, I don't know how to interpret that. You're fine with the status of African Americans in prison? You're fine with the economic status? I mean, what does that mean to tell me, well, you're fine. We're fine. But I'm not in that group that says we're fine. Because when I look out over the community, and not only just the Muslim community, but the African-American community, there is no way, no way in my right mind would I say we're fine. That's just incoherent. That's incoherent statement. By my looking at, by my definition, it may be perfectly logical to that person because their definition of fine is that I don't need you messing with me. You know, matter of fact, they generally told me, I oppose what you're doing. Okay? I don't need you to tell me what to do. Well, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm asking you, what do you want to do? That's different than me telling you. I'm not telling you. I'm asking a question. So, again, like I told you, we are very sensitive in this community. A lot of sensitivity, a lot of hurt and pain. A lot of mistrust. So to be even attempting to do this, you know, some people may, because I have a little insanity myself, I guess. But it's not true. Okay? But this, again, I could be doing something totally different with my time and energy. And maybe get me, and I say, better results. Or at least I wouldn't be getting those kinds of phone calls and emails and text messages. I mean, you know, you begin to realize that, you know, nobody didn't believe me. Don't take it the way I'm saying it. But, you know, nobody's threatening my life. But you begin to realize that, you know, people can you get to mess with people's comfort zones. You could even rouse somebody to violence. You know? So you have to be careful. Inshallah. But anyway, let's move forward. Number of options, very critical. Now, here is a real problem identification. Because when we think about what should we do, we think in terms of what we've already done. Well, we tried this. We tried that. Oh, yeah, you remember this one? You remember that one? So our thinking becomes limited as far as the options is concerned. Or we name, why don't we try this? Why don't we try that? We probably name five things at best. You know, for the most part, we probably don't get to 10 ways. But when those five things get stated, then we basically say to ourselves, see, I told you it's impossible. We cannot do this. It's not going to happen. So number of options is really about critical thinking. We call ourselves thinkers. Celine was talking about thinking, talking about the chamber, or talking about Mary, and what have you. I'm not trying to get back in his conversation at all. And we pride ourselves on being thinkers, intelligent, intelligentsia. Yet, we can't come up with five ways to solve our problem. So are we really thinkers? You know, I think the jury is still out. I think that we have yet to test our own intelligence, our own intelligentsia, collectively and individually. Critical thinking, problem solving, problem identification, trying to do logical projections. We talk a lot about being logical. The man say, follow it out to its logical conclusion. How many of us can follow it out to its logical conclusion? Not many. It just sounds good. It sounds good language, that's all. That's what I'm saying. We talk about language. We're yet to really examine the language that we talk, that we use. We're not even sure what the language means. Maybe even how to use the language. Remake the world. It's just language. It's just words strung together that sounds good. It has no real meaning, no real value. We just say it because it makes us sound good and important. Imam said it. Remake the world. You haven't even remade your block yet. So what does it mean to remake the world? Does it even have definition anymore? You know, we can't keep using words and thinking that somehow these words are going to protect us or magically make something happen. It's just not going to happen. Area code 815. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Just to, don't let me guess at it.
Rashida Salim, Rockford, Illinois.
I would have had it right. All right, Sister Christina, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing wonderful. Yeah, I have to go, but I wanted to ask, you just said remake the world, and what does it mean? What is it, what do you get out of what it means, you know?
Well, that's a good question. Good question. So let me try to explain what it means. I'm going to explain what it means to remake the world to me.
To you, yes.
Yes, okay. Now, one is that it says that there has to be a new thinking. There has to be a new philosophy, ideology that rises. Because I'm not going to remake the world with the same mentality. So I'm going to have to develop a new way of thinking, a new way of seeing the world. Also, that in this sort of remaking the world, you say you had a goal, but let me try to get through. And that means I'm here problem solving, solution implementation, okay? I'm not here just talking about it, pointing out. That means I'm going to have to develop programs and projects, things that are going to honestly be used to remake the situation, to change the situation, to improve the situation. Okay? It may even involve what we call economic development. All right? We're going to have to build some houses. We're going to have to build some schools. We're going to have to build some shopping centers. We're going to have to create businesses. We're going to have to create opportunities. We're going to have to improve our education system or create the education system. This is remaking the world. Does that make sense to you so far, what I'm saying?
To a point, it does. To a point, yes.
Okay. So what would it mean to you? What give me some, where am I not? Where are we not connected?
Okay. For me, when I think of remaking the world, I didn't hear that kind of language until I came into Alice Line. And is you remake the world from what Allah is revealing to us, you know, being compassionate, being loving. You remake yourself first.
Okay.
With what he has given us to remake ourselves with, or even just your natural nature, sticking to that. And I'll just use, like, maybe if you just say the Ten Commandments, you know, don't do this, don't do that. These things are naturally in you. If we could just remake ourselves by being those things, then it would be a natural growth when you start using what Allah tells us to do and following the Prophet and, you know, all the attributes that Allah has. Just your good nature will, to me, remaking it will make you do what you're supposed to do naturally.
Yeah.
It will make you tolerant with people because you know they're not where you are yet, but they're even helping you because you have to be patient with them because they don't know.
Right.
And you have to show them, you know, by your example, just by treating them a certain way because they haven't reached your level of understanding.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand exactly what you're saying. And let me say this. I think we're still on the same page because I just said you have to have a new philosophy, a new ideology. That means automatically I have to change myself, okay? I can't remain to be the same person and say I'm going to go out and remake the world. I am going to have to change me. So, and this is sure. This is exactly what we need to be able to do is exchange definitions on the same subject matter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now we take your definition, we take my definition, and somehow can we mesh them together? Can we get some universal language that will bring both of these two things together? But I don't disagree with you. I'm with you, yes. I just use a different way of saying, working on me, I just said we need a new philosophy and ideology. I didn't, but you dove into that area. So that's okay. But we're not far apart. We're not strangers on this subject matter.
Yes, yes.
Okay?
Yes,
Okay.
I was thinking too that, you know, like when I read after Al-Fatiha and you go into this is the book and it is guidance, sure. You know, that when you read the Quran, that will give it to you too, because Allah is telling us, you know, really almost how to build a whole community. You know, the Prophet, we got his example, and it's just whatever.
I'm sorry. Hold on for a second. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's not. It's like you say. You know, we're just. You know, we're having sure, but it's like wherever we are, we can be. You know, do what we say we want to see. You know, like because everybody might not be able to see it at the same time. So just whatever it is you think will work, we'll do it. It might not be but a few people, and keep sharing it, you know, and sharing with other people, because everybody's kind of like in a different situation. You know, I might not have a group to do sure here, but I can do sure in a lesser way with maybe right-minded people in my own community. They might not all be Muslims, but they're doing something positive too, and you can just contribute what you believe would be good for everybody too. You know what I mean? Even though it's not per se all Muslims.
Yes, I agree. It is not about just Muslims, okay? And we're not just trying to remake the world for Muslims. We do want to include, trying to get the echo out of that. So I got to tweak kind of through two different things to be able to hear. But let me do this. So my point here is, I think if, again, in a conversation, we would be able to synthesize our understanding of, quote, remake the world, and even come up with, let's say, bullet statement. What is included in remake the world? And this is the shorter process. And then use those bullet statements and to say, well, you said this, I said that. These two, they seem to match. But what language do we want to use? The language may be different, but these two here are the same. Now, maybe over here we got a little bit of a difference, but we can begin to adjust these things, where at the end of the day, we would come up with, let's say, one definition of remake the world. We could walk out of the room with one definition and even with goals and objectives for us to go and do to put us on that path, put us into that work of remaking the world. This is Christina. Are you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. It's me. But anyway, but you follow what I'm saying? Are we okay on what you just said?
Sure. I was just, you know, when you made that statement, you know, just since the whole audience is listening, it was just like to get a further definition. You know what I mean? Not just.
Yeah, no, and it's good.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you. Ms. Martha?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Hold on for a second. Sister Martha. Hold on for a second.
All right.
All right, Sister Martha?
Yes. I just want to say that when you... Okay, can you hear me now? When the two of you were talking, I was constantly saying to myself, okay, it's going to take each, not one to convince the other, but everyone coming with your perception of what it is. And then I have my attribute that I say I'm coming with, and I know what hobbies I like. I can break it on down. And then if we connect, there's that bonding agent that has to be there. And I call it the love. You know, what I love and what you love, then there's a love connecting us. And then we can inch into a general arena where now we can put some sealant on it, you know, make it really appear as something that we really want to see. I like playing chess or checkers, and someone else may like it. But what that does is bring us to a conversation, and then we can go from there. Then on different arenas, I like reading different books. Maybe I connect with another person on reading the same books. I like swimming. You know, from different things, now I'm coming from you're involving me. Me, you're giving me some reason for being in the presence of and letting me know I'm important there. But at the same time now, I have to bring out what are my attributes. you know, my what are the things first? I have to realize that there's something wrong, what do you want to say? Something wrong, but when you're remaking anything, you have to really look at what the problem situation is in order to begin to apply the difference making things. For an example, if I know that I spend money needlessly, now I have to face that. And no one else has to point that out to me. I have to face it. So when I realize that, then that's why I don't have money, extra money. So it's just these little particular things that I have to assess me with by, and that's changing me, make, like you were saying, and then bringing forth that ideology that says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to save more money. I'm going to first make it, and I'm going to save it because I'm going to stop buying this and this and this. And that will create that world where I can save. And then I'm connecting with others who have that same intent. Alhamdulillah. But just giving examples in my mind as you all were talking. Now, this is my thinking. Now, someone else may come with a different process of thinking, but it all is going to mesh into one and bond, and we will have a particular thing come out of that, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. I pray you heard me. Okay, assalamu alaikum. I'm going to turn, punch, press one.
I don't think you heard me at all. I'm sorry, I had the phone on mute. I got a couple of things going on, and I can't keep track of everything. So let me try to repeat what I just said, some kind of small way. What I said was is this, that we have a definition. Once we synthesize this, we say we make the world, 20 people in the room, 20 people heard it, but 20 people got different perspectives on it. We collect that, sort of, again, using the shorter slash bee concept. The bees go out and collect the pollen. We're going to collect from you these different definitions, these different concepts. We write them all down. We list them all down. Then we're going to then synthesize, eliminate some or some, you know, what is the top priorities here when we say remake the world? Say we come up with 10 things. we agree upon that generally. And then I said, well, then Sister Martha goes back to Florida, Christina goes back to Rockford, Illinois, Brother Mark goes back to St. Louis, Brother Bilal goes back to Florida where he's from. When someone asks, when we begin to explain the concept of remake the world, we're all going to be using the same definition so that nobody is confused, but we're not confused. We're not confused about what we mean. I'm not going to give my definition. Christina's not going to give her definition, so forth and so on. We're going to give the collective definition. This helps improve the communication. And again, if someone ran into me who talked to you, I'm going to give them the same answer you gave them. This creates less confusion and, again, unity and, inshallah, ability to work together on the same thing, even though we are separated by distance. We can move in the same direction at the same time. That's what we don't have at the present moment. No matter how we love and study the teachings and word of the Deen Muhammad, we have 100 different perspectives about what that is and what that meant, what he means. When he said it, he might have said something in 97. He said something else in 07 that related to the same thing. We have yet to be able to mesh these things together and then say, here is our take from that. Now let's use this as our, as we move forward. Let's use this as our definition or how we explain it. Okay? Hope that's good. Brother Bilal, question or comment?
Alhamdulillah. You know, I listened intensively because I wanted to really don't say nothing. Because, I need to say something. It seemed like it came to a need that I got to say something. Now, you know, Brother Chalmers is a brother that he's so close to what I read by Imam Wazir Muhammad. I know he done read it, and he believed and he deal with it. So Brother Thomas outright, he done told me something about myself, and I know you're telling the truth. But that come from concern. That don't come from being bigoted or nothing else. You see, so believe me, I know how to get off the telephone. Now I know how to press that little button and say, all right, boom, and that's it. But see, it's like I have a love for American 360, and it goes deep. It's not no surface love or nothing like that. I'm trying to figure out how to make money.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And believe me, let me tell you something. Brother Thomas has such effect in my household. I've been with him like a year, few days, that my wife would tell me, oh, such a to do something. Oh, you don't hear now. Say, well, Brother Thomas said. You know, so that's how important it is to me about 360 as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so alhamdulillah. Look, I'm in good shape. Believe me, I'm in good shape, and I ain't no money man, but I'm trying to be a money man because I got enough spirituality in me to probably uplift the whole world, but that don't pay the rent though. So I'm out right now. I'm trying to keep calm and get what I'm supposed to get out of life because I'm tired of flying all around the universe. I've been in so many magic, so many communities. I don't know what to do myself. I'm tired now. You see? I got to go ahead and get my and put it into all this and help grow the community as I grow myself. So, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. No, you're a beautiful brother. You're a beautiful brother, Brother Bilal. And one thing is that, you know, you may not have to be a money man, but what you have is valuable. And that's why I say is, you know, each person has to bring their own brick. Don't worry about what you believe to be the weight or the value of your brick. Your brick is already important. And inshallah, if we just trust that, somebody else's the money man will show up. You bring your spirituality, you bring your passion, and the money man or the money woman, they'll show up. They'll make it happen. So inshallah, we all want to be the money man. Let's see here, Brother believe Brother Michael, 334.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum, Selma, Alabama, Brother Michael. Excuse me, I slept under the fan last night. Yeah, so it's heating up. It's heating up in Alabama. It was like 95 plus yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah. But I want to join this discussion because I'm confident that we're on our way.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that we don't. There are groups of not just people, but there are groups of associates of Imam Wahdi Muhammad that have been and are laying a foundation for our natural growth and development.
Mm-hmm.
And the utility, the use of Shura Bainahum is the help that God gives us from his book, the Quran, and the example of Prophet Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
And the sayings, you know, that we've gotten, that God's hand is over the group. So when you're intending for the betterment and forward moving of the group by God, by his will and plan, and you're seeking to identify it in a specific area, then that help, you know, is assured. Oftentimes, as I read the history, Prophet Muhammad, peace and peace be upon him, went in a direction with the group, though he saw perhaps a better solution. But
mm-hmm.
it's the moving and the trusting that God's hand is over the group that is vital, and that it's not. You know, there's a saying that I've heard quite a bit. You know, stay in your lane, stay in your lane. You
mm-hmm.
know, if the whole purpose of our meeting, for sure, is by God's pleasure to move forward the activity of community building and community protecting also, because, you know, there was sure taken on how do we defend ourselves, you know, specifically. And, you know, there were those who, you know, who knew security strategies in terms of battle and that sort of thing, and they put forth ideas. There was one individual that wasn't from the Arabian area. He may have been Persian, but, you know, he offered the idea of the trench warfare, you know, protecting the community by digging a moat. You know, he understood that. And that was different from what the average soldier or battler, warrior in Arabia, you know. But whatever the process was in terms of how they talked it out, that was what they came up with, the trench.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, by Allah, it was successful. But we have to, you know, stay in the lane of that this is seeking Allah's hand to be over us. We're coming together. There's an area that we don't know, but we do have people that have some experience in the area, you know, like, you know, how do you protect yourself against the media, you know? How do you stop, how do you lessen the influence of the cultural vibes that have us as super consumers, spending up our money instead of producing what Prophet Muhammad said, you know, your resources, your wealth is supposed to grow like the fullness of the moon, you know. It ain't supposed to be depleting it, you know. It's supposed to grow. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be on, what is it, the waxing phase. You're supposed to wax money, not wane money.
Right.
So, those kind of things. I'll stop there. But I'm feeling this. You know, when you're growing, there's a certain tension, you know. I used to complain to my mother, you know, because I was in my head quite a bit when growing up, and I'm feeling all these different pains and what have you, and I'm concerned, you know, why am I feeling so uncomfortable?
Right.
My mama says, oh, that's just growing pains, baby. Salaam alaikum.
Well, we definitely have growing pains, but, you know, the whole concept of shorter and expertise. I don't want to overemphasize it because we leave out people who can be very valuable. And then, like I say, just because a person doesn't have expertise. I remember seeing a thing with this young high school lady, very brilliant, obviously. She took on cancer, and she didn't know much about cancer. She wasn't a doctor. She was just a young lady who then came up with what I say was a solution, a possible solution for cancer. She wasn't a cancer doctor, and she's a teenager. So sometimes not knowing can be an advantage. That's why I don't want to overemphasize this concept of only get the experts together. You could lose a lot of time with experts because their mind has already been framed in a certain way. They don't see the problem. They don't see the issue like someone else. In other words, knowledge can prejudice you. Knowledge can cause you to discriminate. That's why people keep telling you have to have an open mind, because your knowledge can be your limiting thing. I mean, it could limit your thinking. At the same time, it could open up your thinking. So I don't want us to overemphasize only if you're an expert or you've got this or you got that, then you are valuable to the shorter. Everybody is valuable to the shorter, especially at our level. There's no one who's not valuable, because at our level, we're just starting as if we were out in the desert, and we're just trying to figure out survival techniques. Everybody here wants to survive. So let's listen to everybody, give everybody an opportunity for input, and then we'll evaluate the worthiness of that based upon our current situation. That's how we evaluate. And another thing I say, and Brother Mark, just hold on real quick. Here's another problem we have. We evaluate the speaker versus evaluating what they say. We say, well, he doesn't know, or I don't like him. So whatever he says, I'm going to reject. Now, a good Muslim, or at least one with an open mind, they're going to say, I'm going to close my eyes to the speaker, and I'm going to listen to what the speaker has to say before I evaluate the worthiness of this. And we have to be more concerned about what one says versus who said it. We end up rejecting the person and the knowledge, the wisdom that Allah sent us because Brother so-and-so said that. So, you know, I remember, and I'm going to go to Brother Mark, I remember this brother, he had written a book, I think it was on marriage, and I was reading the book. And I thought, well, this is a pretty good book. And then someone said, man, don't you know that brother been divorced 5 times? And he didn't say it like that. But don't you know that brother been divorced several times? What can he tell you about marriage? They rejected. They didn't care about what the brother had to say. His experience in marriage and out of marriage, they brought him a lot of wisdom. He put it in a book. But this brother thought the book was invaluable because Brother so-and-so wrote the book. That's how we usually, since a lot of times, we approach things. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum. Brother Mark, Brother Mark, are you there? Okay, let me go to Brother Bilal. Brother Bilal?
Oh, yeah, look, this is what happened. I was reading this morning about that situation, about the trench. And it was the name was Thelma the Persian. And that's the one who the vice was taken from him, and the trench was made. I just wanted to give that brother a little insight, or anybody else some insight. What he said was correct. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you. Okay, we couldn't listen to Brother Mark. I think we got Sister. Is it Sister Christina?
No, I guess I hadn't gotten off. Oh. I'll punch off.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So yeah, Shura is this process of exchanging ideas and then evaluating. It may be called, let's say, somewhat brainstorming. We're not going to reject anybody or anything. Let's get it on the table first. Let me go to Brother Mark. I think he's back. Brother Mark, can you hear us?
Yes. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Yes, Brother Salam. I try not to ever be guilty of being one of those type that are closed-minded, always want to be open-minded, because I think you can receive so much. And just listening in on the conversation, actually I got something from, and I thank Sister Christine there in Rockford for, you know, asking you the question in terms of remake the world, and I appreciate how you see it from your perspective, and I appreciate how she see it from her perspective, and Sister Martha and Brother Bilal and Brother Michael. I said that to say this here, you know, because I agree with you in this regard. The format that's been laid on the, where we'd be working from in terms of the acronym there, I think that this can help to address and to bring together these different definitions, ideologies together, because something else that the Majedid said, he said that definition is direction.
Yeah.
So if we look and analyze that, maybe this is the reason that we're moving in different directions and not as effective as we can possibly be, because we have different definitions in terms of different things, in terms of what the Imam said. And I also think that, you know, is very important that we also get the message. It may be the meta message, but it is, I think, in the greater message, is that if we only have ideology and we don't have workology following that ideology, it stays as an ideology. It stays as an idea. It stays as a philosophy, you know. Mm-hmm. And so whereas that philosophy is important and it has its worth and it has its value, but work has even a greater value that validates your thinking, you know, my thinking, the community thinking. And I think that if we can begin to, have the freedom of thought and coming to a venue such as this and being able to freely express our thinking and different interests and concerns that we have, then we should be able, with an open mind, mind you, be able to go back to our respective communities and be able to even work more effective than we had before. And so this is what I'm hoping and praying that we will do, because that's the one thing that I heard that is very, very important that I think that you brought up is the open mind. And what I'm bringing up is that the importance of the work, because after it's all said and after it's all done, it's going to require some work, you know, because obviously we all going to have goals, and each one is going to bring those goals, and it's a beautiful. I just want to say to the listenership that I support this 100%. I support that acronym. It's a positive acronym, but it's a framework that we can work within in terms of addressing our real concerns, our real needs, and the methodology that we should use or apply to reach the destiny, the goals that we want. This is a beautiful acronym. I'm hoping and praying that the listenership have an open mind, listen to it, the questions, you understand, positive thinking, positive spirit, you know, bringing all of that. Because, you know, wherever we're going, you know, it has a lot to do with the frame of mind that we come in, because we can never move forward thinking negative. We can never move forward. And we can never move forward pointing the finger or placing blame. I always look at the word blame and I see the word lame. And usually when you place blame, you stay lame. You stay like you're crooked. You don't move. You don't move in a positive way. But I just want to say that we should be prepared to work. We should prepare to work. You know, they have acronym for work, and it's the acronym for work is, and I use in the workshop, is worth obtaining real knowledge. What that means is that anything that is going to be worth, it's worth attaining real knowledge, you know, because when we come in together, we're doing, as Allah said that we should do, what the Prophet exemplified and what Imam Muhammad really exemplified, even in his life, in terms of direction that we should be moving as a community. I mean, so this is clearly martial law. This is Allah's will, and we want it to be as productive as it possibly can, with the inclusion of everybody, and everybody making a positive contribution. So we want everybody to bring their best, bring the best that you have, and then we'll get the best result. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Brother Mujahideen, if you still have a question or comment, please press 1 again on your phone. We can bring you on into the conversation. Inshallah, here we go. Brother Mujahideen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Jamal Barak, everyone. There was some noise coming my way. That's why I turned it off. But alhamdulillah, just contribute to the conversation a little bit. When the brother and you are stressing the importance of having an open mind, what came to my mind, open for business. You know, when we think of open, I would think open for business means you're active, you're functioning, ready to work and serve, you know, not
correct,
as it might seem on surface, you know, open, like, you know, just putting anything in it, but also having a filter. And then in respect to defending or promoting the event and getting the flack or getting the opposition, how you gave us direction to handle it this morning, another thing I wanted to add to that is that from my understanding, it's a proven, I mean, on the planning on how we want to function in that weekend, we've got a good example over the years of your service on AM360. You know, you brought a variety of the community together, presenting their interests, their expertise, and their controlled environment, and a balanced situation where, as you mentioned, you recall this also, that you know, you haven't stepped in and, you know, opposed someone's presentation just on the surface of, you know, it might be in conflict or might be something that, you know, you might not agree totally, but you allow them to, you know, present and promote. So I think that in itself is a good basis for us to come with when we meet in person, as you say, and perform on another level. I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, well, alhamdulillah, I appreciate that, Mujahideen. You know, and we do hope we get, you know, say, more young people involved and tuning in, because they're going to be critical to the way forward. You know, a couple of things, let's say. First of all, clearly, open mind. You know, it's hard to, but I guess it's not. It's hard to be a Muslim without an open mind. But I guess there's a lot of closed-mind Muslims. So I guess that's not totally true. Brother Mark, I think you, did you come back? Brother Mark, did you go out and come back in, Brother Mark?
Yes.
Yeah, another question or comment?
No. I just didn't check out. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm going to give.
Okay, no problem, alhamdulillah. But I want to get through all of these things. We're a little over halfway. We were at a number of options. And again, we were talking about critical thinking, being somewhat logical, not overly logical, but this is about sort of promoting a skill set so that we learn to reason, create possible solutions, list as many options as we can come up with. Thinking, you can say, below the surface, not just taking surface responses or giving surface responses. Also part of developing patterns. In other words, if this, then that. Or, you know, sometimes I'm working with my grandchildren, and I say, can you see the pattern of this, let's say a math problem, okay? There's a pattern that gets developed as well. And we have to be able to see patterns that develop, and also how we sort of create patterns. So number of options is a very detailed process of trying to get one to think positively, to create cognitive behavior, to be resilient, to be persevering, a whole host of things. We're not going to go over everything. But I want you to understand, just because we are talking about this number of options, and we just list the question of what is the date? We have to start thinking in terms of time frames. What's logical? What needs to come first? What can happen concurrently? The whole host of things that are happening in each one of these. But we're just giving it to you as right now as simple as possible. But as we go forward, I want you to understand the process doesn't change. It only enlarges. We will always be using the process of I can do it. It doesn't matter. When you get back home, you're going to use the process I can do it. Whether you're working regionally, you're going to use the process I can do it. We're thinking nationally, we're going to use I can do it. The process is only going to enlarge as we do one thing, then we're going to add something else in it, and then, but you will never not do, I can do it. And you have to remember that. If you can remember, I mean, it shouldn't be difficult. All you got is one thing to remember, is I can do it. You don't need to remember anything else. You don't need to know anything else, at least at this point. Everything will come as you do, then the process will open up. After you do certain things, you're going to say, "Fellow, where are we?" And then we're going to give you more. But the process will always be the same. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long. If you go out 20 years, you will still be using this process. Easy to teach, and everybody can do it. So the next one is outcomes. Now, here what we're trying to do is get, in other words, let's say go back to remake the world. So here's sort of a question for that, an option, I mean in an outcome kind of a way. So we would say, so if you remade the world, what would the world look like? What would the world be doing? What would be different about the world 5 years from now? Okay? Can you see where you're going from where you are? I don't know what remake the world looked like. I mean, I've never done it before. I've never remade the world. But there has to be some expectations. So if I did, so what would the world look like? I gotta bring myself into that process. Because none of us has ever remade the world before. So, I mean, it's not that we're trying to decide whether it's possible or impossible. We believe we can. But how would you know? What would tell you that you remade the world? Or go back to your block, or go back to yourself. How do you know that you've been remade? How do you know that? And if it is true, if it's going to be true, 2 years from now, what would be different about you? What would you not be doing anymore? Okay. Interest testing. Interest testing is, and I say about commitment. We said we want to do something. Again, using the remake the world thing. We say we want to remake the world. Okay? That's our interest. We have an interest in that. But now let's test that. Let's see. Based upon, let's say that, let's stick to what we've already somewhat said. Let's just stick with the whole thing of remaking myself. So if you're so interested in remaking the world, are you prepared to stop doing X, Y, and Z? Are you prepared to change your whole demeanor, your attitude? See, if you're not committed to your interests, i.e. remake the world is never going to get made no matter how great the plan is. I'll write the plan, but I never will get executed because I'm not that prepared to work that hard. I'm not prepared to make those kinds of sacrifices. I'm not prepared to work with people I don't like. I'm not prepared to work with people who hurt me in the past. I'm not prepared to give up all of those bad experiences and start afresh. So we're dead in the water. It doesn't matter how great the plan is. Doesn't matter how great the conversation is. I don't care about the definitions. Who cares? you're not prepared to move forward on any of it. This is one of our greatest stumbling blocks. Yeah, we can talk about all of the issues in the world. What's going on in the masjid and what's going on in the community. But guess what? You're not going to do anything about it. So it's just verbiage. You're not going to get up out of your seat and go do anything. So why are we wasting our time? We're having a conversation, and everybody in the room knows it's just a conversation. Everybody knows we're going to walk up out of here, and everybody's going to go their own separate ways, and we're not going to do nothing. We're not going to call each other. We're not going to stay in touch with each other. We're not going to continue to pursue the conversation. We're not going to continue to refine our definition. We're not going to raise money. We're not going to whatever. So interest testing. We have to test ourselves. Allah says, how do you dare say you believe? This is interest testing. How dare you say you have an interest in Allah, in doing right, doing good, helping your brother man? How dare you say that and think that you're going to slip into heaven without really testing you on that? How dare you think that? You haven't been doing any work in the last 2 years. You haven't improved one life, let alone your own life. And you want a favorable judgment. You want favorable judgment. But Allah, I said my prayers 5 times a day. But Allah, you know, I gave a little zakat at the masjid. You know, your potential was so much greater. You showed such favor, for La ilaha illallah. Oh, you love reading the Quran. Oh, you love this. You love that. Oh, my God, I'm so into this thing. No, you're not. Stop fooling yourself, let alone others. You haven't done anything. You've done nothing except the few little small things you did for yourself. I'm not saying you shouldn't do things for yourself. You got to prepare yourself. You got to go to school and educate yourself. You got to work hard for your family and all these things. But don't say you want to remake the world. So what is all that about? What is all that about? You haven't done 2 things. In the last 20 years. But yet you want somebody to praise you. No. All of us are in need of work. If we're not in need of anything, we're in need of work. Heaven is a long ways away. You know the song that says, how far is heaven? I ain't going to say it because I might clear the board. How far is heaven? I'm tired of something. I think I go with something. I'm tired. I'm weary. But how far is heaven? How far is heaven from here? Well, that's what I see. Heaven is a long ways away from where we are. That's our current situation. Our current situation is that heaven is a long ways away. And we like to believe it's not. We like to believe, oh, Allah had a lot of mercy, and Allah is going to forgive me for this. Allah is going to forgive me for that. And, oh, don't worry about it. Allah is so merciful. He just loves his Muslims. And I've been, look, let me tell you something. Allah is the most real of all realness. Me and you, we got a long ways to go to get to real. And the only way we want it away is not the only way we're going to get there, is we got to put in the work. And I don't think that we should be sitting around saying, you know, how great we are, how fine we are. Oh, we're just fine. If this is fine, then we all might as well close it down. Just close it down and go home. Let's stop this verbiage. Let's stop this talking. Let's stop this hoopla about the Quran and about this and about that. Let's just stop. Brother Mark, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, alaykum as-salam. I was listening to you, and when you was talking about what have we done, and an old poem came to mind, short poem came to mind, that I always would say to my children, and now I pass it on to my grandchildren. It went like, did is a word of achievement, want is a word of retreat, might is a word of bereavement, can't is a word of defeat, ought is a word of duty, try is a word of the hour, will is a word of beauty, can is a word of power. And back to that acronym that you so beautifully crafted for this community shore, Brother Salam, that word can is in there. When I think about can, I think about empowerment. You know, it's either as a community or even as individuals in this community, in this association, it's either or neither nor. It's do I think I can? Well, if I don't think I can, then I think I can't. And if you think you can, you think you can, you know, then that becomes the sonification of what we are as a community. And also, it's going to be reflected in what it is that we do or we don't do, you know, because what this here is being such a positive acronym and a framework to work from, a good solid base to work from for addressing our issues and problems, we would have to come believing and thinking that we can. And we would have to come not only with, you know, say problems or issues or concerns, but we would have to come with resolutions, answers, solutions to, we have to bring that to the table too. We don't want to be like maybe we have all experienced, those of us who've gone to lots of meetings. This is not going to be that type of meeting where we have a pity party, you know, just a pity party. We're not going to have a pity party. It's not a pity party.
That's right.
Understand? So, so that means that the party is going to be what it is that we bring to the party. And so we're saying bring positiveness, bring that I can, and we know that we can, you know. And so that will be the plus, all the pluses that we need. These will be the pieces that, you know, that we need to complete this puzzle, if you will, for us, you understand, to reach the goals, the desired goals and destinies that we want to have as a people. And it's time for us to do this. And this is what, you know, even though Imam Muhammad physically is no longer amongst us, I believe in my heart and my soul and mind that the spirit of the Imam still prevails amongst us. And I hope and pray that shows up, you know, in us, because this would be something that he would greatly approve of, you know. I just want to share this. How do I see a leader? I see a real leader. A real leader leads people to embrace leadership for themselves. This is, you know, see, that's what a real leader is. A real leader don't really want followers. Not just follow me, just wait for me, follow me, you know. So, you know, that's why, you know, there was no particular one person chosen as a leader. Just follow this person. You know, look at it how we raise our children. Now, I mean, whether we recognize it or not, as parents, we are leaders. Mothers and fathers are leaders. They never thought about it like that, but we are leaders. But then is the goal for our children to always continue to wait on us to make decisions for them? No, the goal is for us to raise them up, So that for a portion of their life, yes, we have to do some thinking for them. We have to do some looking out for them. We have to do all of that. But it's to raise them up so that they begin to do those things for themselves. So this is what Imam Muhammad, as a real leader, you know, was doing. So, yes, he would greatly approve of us coming together, exercising what it was that he tried to teach us, and then being able to see that it's being exemplified in this community by members in this community that really, really, truly understood his teaching and says, now it's time. You know, it's time to put what our leader has given us, it's time to put it to work so that it can work and so that we as a community and others can benefit from what was given to us. This is the time for us to show that, you know. And I'll end by saying this. Those who know it, they're obligated to show it, and those who got it, please don't hide it. You're obligated to bring it. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Wa alaikum assalam. Sister Debbie, assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum assalam. I just wanted to make the comment, especially after the brother, what he just said, about W.D. Muhammad. I never knew him when he was alive, but I feel I know him through you all, through American Muslim 360, the community, through the hosts, the radio hosts, and the listeners, and I can see him all in you. So I think this conference will be wonderful. I think it would be a great way to get things going, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the wonderful results of it. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you very much. Eric code 636. State your name, where you calling from?
Kareem Hamid. I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri. Praise
you.
And I offer assalamu alaikum to you and the listening audience. And praise be to Allah for this program. It's very enlightening. And a gracious sharing, a bountiful sharing. Praise be to Allah. I like the terminology or the heading of remake the world. You know, the Imam said, and I forgive me for quoting him, but I can't help myself. He had a very, very profound effect in my life. And I remember the early teachings. He said, words make people. Words make people. And my individual world changed based upon the words that entered my mind. Our world exists between our ears. And when the word hits our mind and it's a positive word with and it hits a fertile mind, I rearrange the world between my ears. My value systems changed. My outlook changed. The world as we see it now is an expression of someone else's value system. What was contained within them, the world that we see it, the value system, how we judge things, how we look at the world, how we look at each other. What we see is an expression from the minds of people that express what was between their ears. Remaking the world, if your words word can remake the world of an individual. And the more, like it was explained to us that the world of racism, sexism, and dualism.
Mm-hmm.
Those three things is what we see as an outgrowth. It's an outgrowth from that world. It was words that formed that world. There's a new world now, praise to Allah, that we're on the threshold of. Racism, I see it. It is dying. It is in its
mm-hmm.
death throes. It is in its
mm-hmm.
death throes. Sexism.
Mm-hmm.
There's a strong movement among the female on this earth now, and it is happening internationally. The old rules, the old thinking about the female is dying. It's in
mm-hmm.
its death. Dualism, that there is that you are different. We have two distinct differences here. And through the words that reached my mind from the Quran, the life of the Prophet Muhammad, and praise be to Allah having an excellent physical teacher,
mm-hmm.
We know that the creation is one and we're all interconnected. And at this present time, there are someone could be sitting in New Jersey and speak with someone in Beijing, China, in real time. So Allah is bringing all of these things about. The old world was not designed to last forever. There was a time limit placed on it. And I firmly believe that that a new world is coming into.
Well, inshallah. Excuse me.
And if we have followed this religion and we have accepted the words that have reached our individual worlds have changed between our ears. And praise be to Allah, we are set to be a part of the new world. Whether we do anything or not, Allah is doing his. He said that Satan would only have a period to rule.
Well,
that there was an end to his rule. And our world, between our ears.
Yeah, this is part of our role is to be more active.
Praise the Lord.
And this is our somewhat of our point here is the saying that it's time for us to get more active in our own, let's say, rescue, you know. Yeah,
right.
Allah does what Allah does. But you have a part in the equation.
Yes.
So we want to get you energized to do your part. We can't keep saying what Allah's going to do or even keep blaming things on Satan or anything else, you know?
You are definitely correct.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. We're going to need to take a break here, and inshallah. Thank you, my brother. What was your name again? Kareem?
Kareem Hamid from St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis, Missouri. Alhamdulillah.
Yes.
There's a lot more people from St. Louis, Missouri, so we know somebody doing some work out there. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it. Thank you. And let us take a quick break, and inshallah, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio. It's not every day that we turn on our TVs or radios and get broadcasting critical to the values we cherish and the issues that affect our lives directly as American Muslims. Assalamu alaikum. This is Mukhtar Muhammad, Vice President for Famico Publishers. We support AM 360 because it offers not only an alternative to traditional media, but because it does so in our voice and in accordance with the best of our group aspirations. Famico Publishers believes it is important to keep this broadcasting media strong and ready to help remake the world. You can support AM362. Just log on to www.famicopublishers.com. That's FAMACOPUBLISHERS.com. And enter promo code AM360 when you check out. And you'll receive a discount on your purchases of Al-Quran, Islamic greeting cards, more books, DVDs, CDs, specialty gifts, and more. And your purchase will benefit American Muslim 360. Thank you for supporting AM360 and Famico Publishers. Together, we can remake the world.
All right. Assalamu alaikum, inshallah. You know, let me wrap up a few things here. We're down to the last 30 minutes. And inshallah, and everybody, you know, if you have a comment, I'm going to have to get you to state your what you want to say kind of quickly here. Just because we're in the last 30 minutes, but I always try to give everybody time to say what they want to say. But here's a couple of things that Brother Mark, Brother Kareem brought up and so forth, and then we went also. They say that the last thing in the I can do it is take it slow, take it slow. This is important because a lot of times we get excited and we want to run out, bust out the gate, go and take care of some business, and everybody's out there working hard, working fast, and everything. You know, remember, you know, it's the turtle, the tortoise who won the race. It's okay to work slow. It's okay to anticipate that things are going to take time, all right? We're not trying to hurry to do anything, but we don't want to be purposely delaying anything that needs to be done. So understand that this is a slow process, but it's a true process. All we have to do is become a part of it. Give our energy, our time to it. We can, quote, remake the world. We can remake our block. Whatever it is, whatever we want to turn our attention to, we can remake it. Again, inshallah, with the help of Allah, but with our hard work, I want to keep emphasizing, this is about our hard work. Allah is Allah. Allah going to do what Allah does, but do we do what we're supposed to do? Okay? So, I can do it. It is the only thing you need to remember. It's not going to change even as things get more complicated. We will still use I can do it. So use that, keep this, what we call it in the training, is this is a tool. Keep it on your belt. Never let it go. No matter how complicated the situation gets, no matter how simple it looks, all you got to do is say to yourself, I can do it. So, and then go after it. Okay? And Brother Mark brought up some other things that I want to also emphasize. We also do in the trainings. And it's I am, I can, I will, I must. Okay? Let's see, I believe Sister Martha has a question or comment. Sister Martha?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum again to everyone. Thomas, as I mentioned, I know earlier, I don't know if you heard me completely, when I mentioned about the likenesses of ones, you know, like I like to play chess and I look for ones who like to play chess. But now the uncomfortable zone is when you find one who doesn't know anything about chess and the strategy or whatever the game is about, and they say, well, I don't want to know. Well, that's the thing we need to do is come, get to know that which you don't know. I mean, you know, be open-minded, not because you, number one, going to understand that it is something within the pleasure of Allah, you know, within the realm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with.
Right.
So
right.
You don't have anything to just to say, well, I should be on my guard against this and against that. You can come with the trust. This
mm-hmm.
is this is a trust step. And that's
right.
the main thing
yeah.
I want to bring out this.
Very
the trust
very
step.
True. Very true. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. And believe me, we're always, maybe you could say, in a trust step because we have to trust. I'm telling you, it's hard. It's hard to get anything done without trust. But I am, I can, I will, I must. This is kind of, let's say, where we are. We have to recognize that I am capable. I am capable. I am valuable. I'm worthy. Whole host of things. Then that I can, let's just go back with this, I can do it. I can think. I can apply self-leadership. You have to develop these statements for yourself. I am, I can, I will, I must. Complete these statements for yourself. When I can, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to be in the future, say, I can whatever, and I will. When we say I will, we're talking about what should be. Whatever is going on right now, I will something else to happen. So I'm saying there's a future me. There's a future situation that I want. I will whatever that is. We are trying to will in a new situation, a new set of circumstances in this community. Some support, some oppose. But again, let the will of Allah be done. Sometimes we find ourselves on the wrong side of history, as they say. I don't want to be on the wrong side of history in this case. We have a will as a group, as a people. And Shura reveals our will. We have a will, we have a direction, a destiny that we want. And again, everybody may not necessarily agree, but there's enough of us who want this particular thing and move in this particular direction, and we should be allowed to do so without interference. And inshallah, those who want to move in another direction, they should also have the will to do so. At some point in time, we may need to collaborate with that group that we think, quote, we disagree with. That's okay. We got to. That's why we have to keep open mind, open spirit. This is not I got all the answers. This is Allah has blessed many people, many set of circumstances. The job is too big for one person, one group. And everybody needs to be allowed to pursue that will. Allah's will and their will. So let us don't become egotistical in any kind of way. Let us recognize that what we do, say in Fayetteville, there's going to be some supporters and there's going to be some people who oppose. But those who oppose it, they may come up with another solution to another problem, another situation. And we're going to have to collaborate with them, cooperate with them. We don't have all the answers. We are here as servants of Allah. And then I must. This is a sort of as when the people were leaving the Midwest, they headed to the West Coast or something, they say, California or bust. That's an I must. California or bust. In other words, I'm going to accomplish this, and I'm going to die trying. That's that interest testing. See, people were so committed to leaving the East, making it to the West, that they were prepared to die in the open plains for it. We are going to have to make some life and death choices. Yes, we are. We can't just keep talking about the people of old and how great they were and how powerful they were and how much sacrifices they made. You and I are going to have to make some of those sacrifices. We're going to have to decide. Is it my life and my death, my prayer and my service, my prayer and my sacrifice, is all for Allah? Is it or isn't? That's, again, one of them things. What do you mean when you make that prayer? What do you mean when you say, my life and my death, my prayer and my sacrifice is all for Allah? What does that mean to you? What do it mean to us as a community? What are we sacrificing? What have we sacrificed? And, inshallah, are we prepared to die physically to achieve these goals? And that's real interest, okay? Real interest, real commitment. So just don't just marvel at the prophets and the companions. Don't just don't marvel at, oh, well, what's the deen, Muhammad was all this. What about you? Don't you have something to give more than lip service? Brother Mark.
Yes, sir. Quickly, I just wanted to say, when you was talking about commitment and you mentioned if you're willing to die for it, I was thinking about commitment and people falling in either one or four categories, and those categories being one of the all out, which is what you were talking about. You have some people that fall in the category of cop out. You know, they don't have any goals, so they don't have to make any commitments, and then you have people that fall into the category of the holdout, and the holdout they are just doubtful, you know, that, you know, things are just not going to work out or whatever, and so they fear to make a commitment. So fear holds them, so they're the holdout. And then you have the dropout. The dropout, they start on the path of a goal, but when things get tough, you know, like you said, things get tough, the tough's supposed to get going, but they're not really tough. So the first sign of trouble, a toughness, then they drop out. But the last one is the all-out. The all-out is the one that sets the goal. They committed to the goal, and they will do what's necessary to reach the goal, which means that what you were saying in terms of my life and my death, you know, is all for Allah, because it's all for to please Allah. So that has to be the spirit, the mindset, demeanor of the believer that's making a commitment. So that's why I really love that acronym. And when you get down to interest testing, you know, it's what we're going to be committed to. It's going to be what we're going to really be able to accomplish. Thank you.
Welcome, Aslam. Thank you very much. Alhamdulillah. You know, what
Well, let's see. Let's go to the other callers here. Sister Martha?
I have one quick question.
Yes.
Yes. The question is, you did say this would be aired AM 360, correct?
Say that one more time.
The process, the gathering.
Yes.
You'll be live AM 360, correct?
Well, we're working on that. But our first goal is to get as many people there as possible. But we are working on a way to make it available to more people. We're working on that. Yes.
Okay. My thinking went to those who are disabled and have the heart to come,
right.
and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But they can call you, inshallah, and give you their okay. Alhamdulillah. All right,
that's level eight. We're definitely working on that because we realize that everybody is not going to be able to make it. But we first of all want to get as many people in the room as possible, and then inshallah we will take it from there. Brother Ron, I think. Brother Ron Foster, please.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
What I want to kind of remind everybody is the criticalness of the time and the situation that we're looking at right now. And what this Oshua thing is really about, it's really about the legacy of our community. See, we sit around and we look at the rest of the Muslim world, and we look at all that madness that's taking place in other parts of the world that's involving people who are claiming this religion. And one of the criticisms that all Muslims face is that they say that we are allowing people to hijack our religion. We're hiring we're allowing these fanatics to hijack and take over and usurp our religion. And that's true. Now, Brother Thomas, you know I have a fondness for dealing with elephants, elephants in the room. So I'm gonna touch on the elephant in the room to show you how critical we're dealing with. But I'm not gonna necessarily name names. But however, what we're looking at now is that we have a group in our community now who has proclaimed themselves to the world as representing our national leadership. Now, who elected them king of the Muslims? See, we have these individuals that's talking about what we're trying to do to take them back into slavery. And yet, by the same token, if you disallow people to a voice and question and map out their own destiny and to make their own decision about their own what type of leadership that they want, then you're the one that's people in slavery, not us. See, we have this group that is actually proclaim themselves to be national leadership. They've already been in the White House. Now, they talk out one side of their neck and say local leadership and no centralized authority, blah, blah, blah. And then on the other side of the neck, they have actually moved to proclaim themselves as national leadership representing our whole community. See, this is why this tour is so important. Because it's not necessarily that the group that we represent is trying to sit in the big chair themselves, but it's designed and set up to allow the whole community, the people, to decide what we want to do, to decide who will be a member of the national leadership or if we need national leadership. We have that right and we have that responsibility. And if we don't, or if we shrink from that responsibility, then we're going to be guilty as the same as the rest of the Muslims in the Muslim world of allowing people to hijack our religion. See, we've allowed it at the international, at the global scale. Now, you know, we have a group that's trying to do it. Are we going to allow them to also hijack our community at the national level, you know. So
this
is what we have to keep in mind, that what we're doing is very, very critical and vital to the legacy of Islam, not only here in the West, but actually historically Islam globally, because the leadership of all Islam globally will come from the light and the thinking from Islam being practiced by, you know, us over here in the West. Thank you, brother.
Well, I look at myself, alhamdulillah, make a few comments on that. But let's see, brother, and I don't know. 646. I mean, excuse me. Yeah, 646.
Yes. Okay, you got it. Muhammad Naeem out of Trenton, New Jersey.
There you go. Okay, I'm working on it.
You got it, in fact. And you've been on it. And you've been on point. The concern I have is, do we have a plan for if if the hotel is overflowed, just, you know, kind of like looking, you know, down the, in the crystal ball there, is there a alternate hotel?
Yeah, to answer your question, we have a hotel that is directly across the street that is on, probably, you know, is our overflow situation.
Okay.
So we do have backup, yeah.
Okay. All right. That was just one of the things.
That would be a good problem. That would be a good problem to have. Is overflow.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And right. I'll see you there, inshallah. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Yeah. Yeah. Let's just say this. We're always planning for the best. We hope 1,000 people show up. But again, if 100 show up, I think we got it worked out. But we do have a Holiday Inn, and then the Hampton. Across the street is also on reserve for overflow. All right? Couple of things. You are going to hear a lot of chatter out there in and about this community and about this effort that we're doing. You're going to hear a lot of chatter. Now, what other people are doing, alhamdulillah, and I say, you know, they declare themselves to be the national leadership, alhamdulillah. The only way somebody can be national leader is that the people decide that they honestly are going to respect that particular person and or authority, okay? Now, my concern at the present moment is that we, the people, begin to make these kind of critical decisions about ourselves, because when it's all said and done and the lights go out at night, there's only one leader, and that's the people. That's the only leader we have. There's no other leader. There's no other center. There's no other organization. The people is it. Now, what the people need to do is make some critical choices about all of those issues. There's nothing wrong with one person representing the people, but the people need to decide who will represent them on the national stage. Nothing wrong with that. The people will have to make some choices about their organization or organizational structure. The people have to make these kinds of critical choices. Now, if you do forego your responsibility, someone will be making it for you. You may not like the choices that other people make, but if you refuse, then just know that it's going to happen by osmosis, so to speak. So you have, and I say, one choice, and that's to rise and to stand on your own two feet. I'm not calling any particular group of people. I'm saying to the people, This is your shura. It's not my shura. It's not American Muslim 360. We have no agenda, okay? We have nobody chosen. I'm not trying to be your leader. But you have to make those choices. If you make choices, then we will respect your choices. Other people will begin to respect your choices, your, let's say, influence and power, your ability, your coming alive. But let's don't leave it. Let's just don't, I guess, ignore it, I guess. That's what causes the problem. That's what causes the issues and the dislike and the mistrust in the community. This is our doing, and we're going to have to get out here and fix this problem. We can't keep saying, Brother so-and-so did, and so, look, if nobody steps forward, I anticipate somebody else is going to step forward. That's the natural order of things. Now, so either you're going to take your responsibility, nobody's going to be able to hijack anything from you. You just gave it up. You just said, take it. Do whatever you want with it. Other people tell you what to do. People other tell you, everybody, you know what I mean? I got no, people want to interpret what Water the Dean Muhammad said and mean. I got no problem with that. I'm just, it's not binding on me, though. It's not binding. The people will decide what is binding and what is not. Okay? One of the big problems, and Brother Mark in 773, matter of fact, let me stop right now. I wrote a 773. It's the brother you called in about the Juma, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and to everybody, I made a mistake. The Juma is at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. That is 12:30 in your area, my brother.
Yes,
12:30 for you. That's 11:30 in the mountains and 10:30 on the west coast. The Juma. Always appreciate you, my brother, inshallah. Give me your name. Give me your name, brother. What's your name again?
Fareed Rashid.
Fareed?
Yes, sir.
Fareed. All right, my brother.
Fareed. All right, dear. Thank you, Brother Thomas.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much, my brother.
All right, dear. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, assalam. Okay. So my point to you, and I think Brother Ron is making the point, is that you have to seize the opportunity. You, in the future, you're not going to be able to say Allah didn't give you a chance, an opportunity. This is it. You can say, well, I wasn't expecting American Muslim 360 to present it to me. Well, I wasn't expecting it either, okay? But you can wait on the sectional imams to call you all together. You can wait on mosque cares to draw you together. You can wait on whatever all of the different organizations out there. You can wait on them to do it. I mean, it doesn't have to be American Muslim 360. You don't have to do it at this time, let's say. But I suggest, I'm going to suggest that you seize this opportunity, because at this present moment, again, let me just say what I'm going to say. I've been as open and honest with you as I possibly can. We've been talking about this since December the 26th, 2012, on the air, on the radio, not hiding, not behind closed doors, not to some special group of people. We've been right here in your face. Anybody and everybody had an opportunity to listen in, tune in, chime in, make comments on all of the various different issues and conversations we've been having. Okay? So, inshallah, I'm just saying to you that this may be the best and ideal opportunity and time for you to take advantage of this. I just got a text in. Let me try to figure out. Let me try to understand it. Mujahideen, alhamdulillah, says, can you announce that if any from New York, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania would like to travel together, we are planning to take a bus We would leave from Philadelphia, 30th Street train station, at Thursday midnight. You can give them his phone number, and I will do that for you. Alhamdulillah. So here Mujahideen is saying, if you're traveling from New York, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania to the community shura, they're planning on bringing a busload. Alhamdulillah. They're going to meet at the 30th Street train station on Thursday midnight. That will be, Thursday will be the 17th of August. Mujahideen's number is 717-379-6277. Again, Mujahideen, 717-379-6277. Call Brother Mujahideen if you're in the New York, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania area, and alhamdulillah, bringing a busload from that area to Fayetteville, North Carolina. And that's what I'm talking about. Truly, Allah is great. Truly, Allah is great. So, thank you, Mujahideen, and alhamdulillah. Mujahideen Muhammad is his full name. Mujahideen Muhammad, you can give him a call. And for those who may not want to travel on their own or maybe needing help in travel, then there is your ride. There's your ride. And I couldn't have, anyway, those are the things that I cannot even control. I cannot even begin to imagine that someone would think about bringing a busload. But that's what we want. We need a movement. We need the energy generated in this community for you to say, look, I'm going. This is like, well, let's use the term because everybody, this is like the national convention, okay? This is your opportunity to come with an agenda that is wide open and totally ready for you, made for you. Nobody's going to give you speeches. Nobody's going to give you, tell you what to do, how to do it. We are going to find our own way. And for those who think that means that we're lost, you're wrong. It means that we are going to find our own way. Just like the people did in Medina. They have to find their own way. Okay? Well, there's no model for them to go grab and say, let's do it this way, let's do it that way. Hey, we're going to make some very critical choices. Very critical, and I like to think long-term choices, not just at this event, but at several events that are going to be planned, and inshallah, planned around the country. So that it makes it easier for different people to come at different times. And yes, we're going to work on moving technology into it so that if you can't make it, you're going to be able to be there via the phone or the internet and maybe even video. We're going to use all of the tools at our disposal because we would love to see 1,000-plus people. And we can handle it. This process, I Can Do It, can handle 1,000-plus people. All right? All right, people, we're at the last minute and hour here today. Inshallah, we want to thank you for your patience and your attention here today, your questions, your comments, your concerns. Keep coming. This is, we're still, we have not, even though we discussed the I Can Do It, we are not finished with the process. We're not finished with the process, okay? There's more to be said. There's more to be done. Next Friday, we'll be giving you more, all right? So please, come and enjoy yourself, inshallah, and make sure if you have questions and comments, even outside of the regular show, email us at AmericanMuslim360@yahoo.com. And I hope you, many of you, I hope you downloaded our app, all right? We're going to start sending out messages through our app more regularly, that we hope that you share that app with other individuals. If you got a smartphone or iPhone or Android phone, and even you got a pad, a tablet, you can use it there. Okay, people, I have to run. Inshallah, Friday's always my day. I got to hit the road. So anyway, so you got to do take care. Now, let me get this song up that I really meant to play earlier, but I couldn't remember. I couldn't at that time think of the name of the group, and I'm going to do it now, inshallah. Aren't they called New Africa? What is that group called? I can't think of the name of that group. Maybe it's Sound of Africa. That's what it is, Sound of Africa. Anyway, I'm going to play this song if I can find it, play this group, if I can get there and everything else. So everybody, you guys have a blessed weekend, and inshallah, always remember we do have shows here on the weekend here on American Muslim 360. I will see you Monday morning. I do the show called The Power to Be You, The Power to Be New, and inshallah, we're going to play that song there. Okay. Where's the song? Bow and Pray. That's the song I meant to play earlier when I went to go make Salat. Inshallah, take good care. Assalamu alaikum.
When the night has come, And the day is done. Sit, I bow my head, my knee, and I pray. He brought me through this day. Help me all along the way. And it's okay. And I know that love has control. And everything in the world is control. So I bow and I pray each and every day. It'll be okay. And when the night shines through, and I say to you, let us bow our heads, our knees, and let's pray. 'Cause another day, surely, truly on its way, pray that it's okay. And I know that love has control, and everything is well in control. Oh, so I bow and I pray each and every. Start.
reasons and sincerity. The devil knows nothing to do with you and me. With good intentions and sincerity, the devil don't want nothing to do with you and me. No, no, no,
no, no, no, no,
no.
Creating our own destiny.
That's right.
I refuse to let the world get the best.
a creator.
Yes.
We some creators creating our own destiny.
Yes.
I refuse to let the world get the best of me. Using every moment to create my own legacy.
Yes.
I'm a creator.
Yes.
You a creator.
Yes.
We some creators creating our own destiny.
That's right.
I refuse to let the world get the best of me. Using every moment to create my own legacy.
Yes.
Legacy. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is we will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.